The fire started in the back room, where Alina kept her bolts of cloth stacked to the ceiling like coffins. Pearl smelled it before she heard it the sharp bite of kerosene cutting through the usual basement stink of boiled cabbage and damp wool. She was sitting on the cracked wooden chair, her shoulder still throbbing, her notebook gone, her hands gripping the brass scissors so hard the handles bit into her palms. Across from her, Alina was pouring tea from a dented tin pot, her hands shaking so badly the liquid sloshed over the rim and pooled on the saucer. "You didn't eat," Alina said, rapid words, anxious Italian cadence threading through each syllable. "You need strength, the doctor says." "The doctor isn't here, Alina." Pearl's voice was flat. She had spent the last 20 minutes waiting in the doorway of the tenement stairwell, listening to the muffled sounds of the Rossi family upstairs, two children arguing in broken English, a man coughing, a gramophone crackling with a violin concerto, and she had counted every floorboard creak beneath her boots as she descended. 4 flights. The basement door had been locked from the inside. She had knocked. Alina had opened it after a long pause, her hazel eyes wide, her black hair pulled back in a severe knot that did nothing to hide the fear trembling in her jaw. "I know what they did to your husband," Pearl said. Alina's cup stopped halfway to her lips, the steam curled between them like a veil. "My husband is dead," she said. "He died in the garment fire. You know this. I told you this." "Not that fire, the other one." Pearl leaned forward. The gas lamp between them flickered, casting long shadows across the peeling wallpaper. "The one that took his fingers, 3 of them, burned away. You told me the foreman said it was an accident with the pressing iron. But I looked at the photos, Alina. I looked at the burn pattern. That wasn't an iron. That was something else." Alina set the cup down. It tipped over. Tea spread across the table, dark and spreading like blood on marble. "You should go," she whispered. "Please, you should leave." "Why?" "Because they will come back, and next time they will not knock." Pearl opened her mouth to argue, to press, to do whatever it was she did, dig and pry and unravel, but the smell hit her first. Kerosene. Stronger now, coming from the back room. She turned her head toward the narrow doorway that led to the storage space where Alina kept her worst fabrics, her broken machines, her husband's old tools. The air through that doorway was hot. Wrong. "Alina. Don't." Pearl was already moving. Her injured shoulder screamed as she pushed herself up from the chair, but she didn't slow. She crossed the room in 3 strides, her hand closing on Alina's arm, pulling her backward toward the front door. Alina resisted for half a second her grip on the table, her eyes fixed on the back room, then she crumpled, letting Pearl drag her toward the exit. The back room was already glowing. Orange light pulsed through the doorway, rhythmic, breathing, like the depot's gear trains, but hotter, hungrier. Pearl shoved Alina through the front door and followed her into the hallway, slamming the basement door behind them. The heat radiating through the wood made her hand blister instantly. "They locked it from the inside," Pearl said, her voice tight. "Someone poured kerosene in there. Someone lit it." Alina was already fumbling with the deadbolt on the basement door, her fingers slick with tea and panic. "No, no, I locked it. I always lock it at night. The children." "The children are upstairs." Pearl grabbed Alina's wrist and yanked her toward the stairs. "Move." They climbed, 2 flights, 3. The sound of the fire grew louder, not a crackle yet, but a low, hungry roar, the sound of cloth and wood and kerosene feeding on itself. Pearl could feel the heat through the soles of her boots. She could smell the wool melting. She could hear Alina's children screaming. The front door of the ground floor apartment was unlocked. Pearl pushed it open and they spilled onto the street. Rain had started again, a fine, cold drizzle that did nothing to cool the air already thick with smoke. The tenement across the street was alive with faces pressed against windows, mouths open, hands raised. Someone was shouting. Someone was running for a bucket. Alina collapsed on the wet cobblestones. Her hands flew to her mouth. She made a sound that wasn't quite a scream, something smaller, something broken. Pearl knelt beside her, grabbing her shoulders, shaking her once hard. "Where are your children?" "Upstairs," Alina gasped. "Maria, Giuseppe there." A woman appeared in the doorway of the tenement above Alina's, tall, dark-haired, wearing a thin shawl despite the chill. She was holding a boy on one hip and grabbing a girl's hand with the other. "Signora Rossi," she shouted. "I got them. The children are safe." Alina sobbed. Once. Then she was on her knees, pressing her forehead to the wet stones, her body shaking so violently Pearl had to hold her down. Pearl stood. She turned toward the basement window. Through the grimy glass, she could see the orange light growing brighter, consuming everything in its path. Bolts of silk catching first, they always did, the fine fibers igniting like tinder. Then the cotton. Then the wooden shelves. Then the walls. The fire was moving faster than it should have. Too much kerosene. Deliberate. Calculated. She reached into her coat pocket. Her fingers closed around the folded paper she had brought with her, the sketch of the stitching pattern, the one Alina had identified as belonging to her father's coat. The one that connected everything. The one that proved Astrid Blackwell's syndicate had been using a master signature, a hand knot technique that predated Vane, a technique that Pearl's father had recognized and tried to trace. Pearl unfolded the paper. The sketch was there, three crossings across the seam, the specific tension on the diagonal cross, the hidden loop that only a trained eye would notice. This was the evidence. This was the link. The window exploded. Not a crack. An explosion. Glass shrapnel rained down onto the street, glittering in the gaslight like diamonds. Pearl threw herself backward, rolling onto her side, her hands flying to her face. Hot shards sliced her forearm. She felt the sting but didn't look. She kept her eyes on the paper in her other hand. The window was gone. The fire roared outward, a tongue of orange licking the street, illuminating the faces of the neighbors, the wet cobblestones, the smoke billowing into the rain-dark sky. And the paper. Pearl's fingers were still closed around it. She looked down. The corner was black. Smoke curled from the edge. The heat from the window had reached her. The paper was catching. She could feel the fibers stiffening, curling, the ink beginning to blur. No. She dropped it, stomped on it. Her boot heel crushed the burning corner into the wet cobblestones, grinding it back and forth until the flame died and only ash remained. She lifted her foot. The sketch was gone. The 12 stitches, the diagonal cross, the hidden loop, all of it reduced to gray smudge and blackened edge. Alina, Pearl said, her voice was steady. It surprised her. Alina, listen to me. Alina was staring at the basement window, her hands still pressed to her mouth, her body still trembling. My husband's tools, she whispered. His iron, his threads, all of it. Gone. And the samples, the patterns you showed me, the ones from your father's coat. Pearl looked at the ash on the cobblestones. She looked at her burned forearm, at the thin red lines where glass had cut her. She looked at Alina, at the terror in her hazel eyes, at the way her black hair stuck to her wet cheeks. Gone, Pearl said. A carriage clattered past, its driver slowing at the sight of the fire, then continuing on. Somewhere nearby, a church bell began to toll. 1 o'clock. The city was waking up to the burning. Pearl stood. She wiped the ash from her boot with her heel. She reached into her pocket for her handkerchief, found nothing, and used the back of her good hand to wipe her face. It came away gray. They'll ask questions, she said. I know. They'll want to know why someone set this fire. Alina nodded. Her hands had stopped shaking. Something had hardened in her face a resolve Pearl hadn't seen before, something forged in the heat of loss. I will tell them what I must. Alina nodded. Her hands had stopped shaking. She wiped the wet from her cheeks with the back of her wrist, leaving a smear of soot across her skin. I will tell them I was asleep, she said, that I heard nothing, that I don't know who locked the door. Alina looked at her. Really looked at her. For the first time, Pearl saw not the anxious seamstress, not the frightened widow of a garment worker, but a woman who had survived worse than this and would survive this too. That I do not know, Alina said. That I am afraid. That my doors were locked and my windows were bolted and I heard nothing until the smoke. She paused. And that you were here, and that you saved me. Pearl didn't respond. She turned toward the street, toward the darkness beyond the firelight. She could feel the man in gray coat somewhere in the shadows she always could, a pressure at the edge of her vision, a presence that wasn't quite there. He had done this, or he had allowed it. There was a difference she couldn't afford to parse right now. Behind her, Alina stood. She brushed the wet cobblestones from her skirts. She took one last look at the basement window, at the fire eating everything she had ever owned, everything her husband had ever built. Then she turned away. Her shoulders dropped, the tremor in her fingers subsiding into stillness. She dragged the heel of her hand across her face, smearing soot into the hollow of her cheekbone. "I will tell them I was asleep," she said. That the street remained silent, that I have no idea who barred the entrance. She had no notebook, no sketch, no evidence. But she had the pattern in her head. 12 stitches, diagonal cross, hidden loop. She had memorized it as a seamstress memorizes a garment's construction thread entering, exiting, holding tension. She had studied it for an hour in Alina's shop, her finger tracing the ridges on her father's coat, counting, measuring, understanding. It was enough, it had to be enough. Pearl turned west, letting the river's slow pull carry her toward the silence.